Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I'm here with this month's World Changer message, and we're talking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, a question that a lot of people ask me, they'll say, "You don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, so do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" You know, I almost want to fall over when somebody asks me that question. But you know, I realize, and I've told a lot of people this, you know, Jesus really didn't speak about the Holy Spirit as often as it would seem. We don't have that many passages. And when he explained about miracles and when he explained about faith, he did not try to go into the intricacies of what the Holy Spirit would be doing while we were working faith. Because you see, the Holy Spirit works in us because we believe the truth, not so much because we know and believe about the Holy Spirit. Same way with grace, same with the way with a lot of things. As a matter of fact, you'll discover that there are a lot of things that the Holy Spirit does, again, because we believe the truth. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace, so when he manifests grace, it's just him being himself in us, and the reason he's able to be himself in us is because we just believe the truth of God's promises. Let me tell you something. I rely on the Holy Spirit. I depend on the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge the Holy Spirit in my life constantly, but I don't feel like we have to explain the intricacies of the Holy Spirit in order for him to be present and to be working. But I'll tell you this, the knowledge of him working in us is part of why we are able to experience his comfort. You know, when Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never fail you, I'll never forsake you," he fulfills that promise because he's always with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we know we'll never be orphans. We know we'll never be alone. We'll never be abandoned. And I'll tell you, when you begin to connect with your heart, which is what we teach people to do, it's the Spirit of God you're going to hear speaking and reminding you and giving witness to the promises of God. And you know, my sister, when she went through heart physics, she shared this testimony that I thought was incredibly insightful and incredibly beneficial. She said that the one thing that happened to her, the first and foremost thing that happened to her with heart physics, was the awareness that she was not alone. And I remember as a new believer, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit just a few weeks after I got saved, didn't know what it was. But I'm going to tell you, when I would speak in other tongues, I would have this awareness that somebody else lives inside of me. You know, when you think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you realize that when we get born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes us or buries or immerses us into the body of Christ. And if we're paying attention to our inner man, which most people are when they first get born again, through legalism and religion, we learn to stop paying attention to the voice of God inside of us. But Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And I tell you, I can remember as a new believer, the one confidence I have, the one thing, no, you couldn't argue me out of it. And even when I had failures in my life, or even when I had shortcomings in my life, I couldn't be cheated out of it, talked out of it, or condemned out of my salvation or out of the love of God, because I recognize that witness of the Holy Spirit. I recognize his presence within me. You know, Acts 1:8 tells us that Jesus will baptize us into the Holy Spirit. In other words, just like the Holy Spirit takes us and places us into the body of Christ, covers us over with the body of Christ, Jesus said, "I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'll cover you over, you know, with the Holy Spirit. And when I do, you're going to take hold of power." And that's where the power of God that even exceeds the power that we just have as human beings, created in the likeness of the image of God. But boy, you look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help us pray the perfect will of God, according to the book of Romans. According to Romans 5, the Holy Spirit will constantly express God's love in our heart. And see, these are the reasons why I encourage people, learn to get in your heart zone. Learn to listen to your heart. The voice that you hear in your heart speaking the things of God to you is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, in Romans 8, well, Romans has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 also tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies in Christ Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit's trying to express the life and the love of God to us in every single part of our life. You know, I talked about this in my World Changer letter this month, how that the Holy Spirit never does anything inconsistent with His name. You know, in the prayer organizer, we have most of the names of the Holy Spirit listed. You stop and think, He's the Holy Spirit. Well, holiness means not common. In other words, this is something that keeps us from being common, from being like everybody else. He's the Spirit of grace, which means He is constantly manifesting God's ability to work in us. He's the Spirit of peace. He's always trying to bring us to the place of peace. He is the Spirit of God. He is always trying to show us God in every situation and reveal who God is. He's the Spirit of truth. And we talked about that in our World Changer letter, how that He's not just trying to lead us into information. He is attempting to lead us into the application and the expression of truth. He's the Comforter. Now stop and think, if He never violates any of these attributes of His name, then there's nothing that He would ever say to you without bringing you comfort in the process. There was nothing, would be nothing He would ever speak to you without giving you the power and the grace to live it out in your life. He's the Counselor. He's the one that can counsel us through every situation. He's the Paraclete, the one called alongside to help. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's always showing us who Jesus is. He's the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, and revelation, and knowledge. He's the voice of the Almighty God, the teacher, the leader. He's the gift of God. He's the Spirit of the living God. He's the Spirit of life. I tell you, I go through these names, and I start realizing, man, the Holy Spirit is in me, always trying to not only bear witness to these truths, but always trying to express these truths in me in a way that I experience Him. And that's one of the things you want to realize. God is not interested in what you know as much as He's interested in what you experience. See, belief, the whole process of getting, starting with information, you get information, you take that information, you influence your heart, and you come to believe. That whole process has in it one goal, so that at the end of it, you can experience the life of God. You can experience the realities of God. Belief, faith, information, none of that stuff is any good if it doesn't take us down the road of experiencing God. Jesus said, I want you to know God. This is life, to know God. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to tell you, when we believe any truth in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will manifest in our lives according to the belief that we embrace. And that doesn't mean that He's withholding something from us. But you see, only when we believe something in our heart are we willing to allow it to be expressed in us. And our problem is there's information that we have that we don't believe in our heart. Listen, and this is kind of where I want to get to today. The Holy Spirit is not only trying to express Himself in accordance with all of His names, but you also realize that because He is here to give witness to the Lord Jesus, He's here to remind us of everything the Lord Jesus brought us. He's here to take that which was His and declare it unto us. And Jesus took that which was God and declared it. So you start realizing that all of the names of Jesus, all of the names of God, all of the names of the Holy Spirit are the ways that He is going to express Himself in and through our lives. Man, that is so phenomenal. He always wants to express every attribute, every aspect of who God is. And the incredible thing is, He will never express who God is and in the process violate another aspect of who God is. Even when the Holy Spirit is correcting me, and that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do, He will correct me so that He can lead me in the direction that I should be going in. But He's always going to do it in comfort. He's always going to do it in love. He's not going to beat me up. He's not going to bludgeon me, you know, with the Word of God. Romans 8:14 says something that I think is really interesting. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, it would be safe to translate, but it would be safe to express this verse in the following manner. As many as follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, experience what it is to be a son of God. That's not how that verse is written, but that is one of the things that is expressed or implied in this verse. See, it's meaningless for me to be led by the Spirit if, in fact, I am not following Him. And this isn't about doing obedience to earn something. It's real simple. God wants us to have the very best, and so He's always trying to bring the wisdom, the practical application of His truth, the practical direction we need to walk in. He's always trying to bring that to us in such a way that we will follow Him into the experiencing of the promises of the sons of God. And see, the concept of the sons of God means that you are a full heir. You're receiving the full benefits. You know, you can be born of God, but not be experiencing life as a son, as someone who actually is participating in the inheritance. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean He's withholding it from you. It doesn't mean that you're having to work to earn it. It means you are not following Him to the source, following His wisdom. Let me read this to you. Romans 8:14, the following verses. I want to read this in Kenneth Wiese translation. I love the Wiese translation. It's a little wordy, but it really zeroes in on some of these concepts very effectively. He says, "For as many as are being constantly led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." Now, that concept, being constantly led, see that in the tenses of the Greek language, you understand that He's not just saying somebody's led once. He's saying to experience this thing about being a son of God, it's constantly following the Spirit of God. You know, that's why in Essential Heart Physics, we just tell you, we want you to learn to connect with God in your heart. Now listen to this. He says, "You did not receive a spirit of slavery with resulting fear, but you received the Spirit who places you as adult sons, by whom you cry out with deep emotion, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself is constantly bearing joint testimony with our human spirit that we are the children of God, and since children, also heirs. On the one hand, heirs of God, on the other, joint heirs with Jesus, provided that we are suffering with Him in order that we also may be glorified together. For I have come to a reasoned conclusion that the sufferings of the present season are of no weight in comparison to the glory which is about to be revealed." Now let's back up here and talk a little bit about this. You notice that he says the Spirit Himself is constantly bearing testimony with our human spirit that we are children of God. And since we're children, heirs, on the one hand, heirs of God, and on the other hand, heirs of Jesus. So we realize that God's Spirit is always speaking to our human spirit, saying, "We are sons of God. We are sons of God. We are." And He's constantly saying that, first of all, you're an heir of God. And you know, I talk about this in this new series that I'm doing, where I talk about the difference between the authority of man and the authority of the believer, which we have pretty much wiped over into just one statement. And we think, we don't know that there's a difference between the authority of man and the authority of the believer. God gave us the authority, because we're creating His likeness and image, to do phenomenal things in planet Earth. But Jesus provided us with incredible promises because of His finished work. So we are heirs of God on the one hand because we're creating His likeness and image, but we are heirs of Jesus on the other hand as well because we believe in the finished work of Jesus. So God's always trying to show us the fullness of what we have as children of the Father and as joint heirs with Jesus. But then He says something where He talks about suffering with Him. And boy, I tell you, a lot of people would just get all up in a knot about this. They don't want to talk about suffering. Well, you know, the primary suffering that Jesus faced was the dying to His own will. And that's the primary thing that we all have to face. I tell you, when Jesus was in the garden, getting ready to be crucified, you can believe He did not want to do it. You can believe He didn't want to go there. He didn't want to face that. He didn't want to deal with the physical pain. He didn't want to deal with the fact that He was going to become our sin and go to Hades, to the complete unknown for Him, and have to use His faith to come out and experience absolute victory on the other side. Man, I wouldn't have wanted to do it. And He even said He didn't want to do it. But He said something real interesting. He said, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, man, you know, if there's another way to do this, I don't really want to do this." But then He said, "But not my will, but Your will be done." I want to tell you something. And following the Holy Spirit, and I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul put this thing about suffering in a context of following the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit when he's trying to lead us into life, and we think we got a better plan. When he's trying to lead us into provision, and we're taking some kind of financial shortcut. When he's trying to lead us into love and relationships, and we're trying to have control of the relationship. When he's trying to lead us into a healthy life, but we're wanting to live a reckless life. You see, self always has a way it wants to go. And the Holy Spirit always wants to lead you into life in the very, very fullest. The expression of all the names and attributes of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He wants to express all of these things in you. And he wants you to trust him enough that no matter how it seems to you, you can give up your will and follow him so that you can experience the very, very, very best. I cannot tell you the times that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me to do something a certain way, a business deal a certain way, to relate to a person a certain way, to go minister to a person I didn't want to minister to, or to, you know, deal with anything. I cannot tell you how many times my will and his will were very, very much inconsistent. But I want to tell you something. I gave in to his will. And every time I've given into his will, it has come out good. Every time I've given into his will, it has been a blessing. It has been a promise fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I've given into my will, it has been chaos. It has been a struggle. I've gotten hurt. Other people have gotten hurt. And then I have a big old mess that I have to, then I have to repent and walk in love and, you know, make things right with people and get myself back to the place of peace. I want to tell you something. Paul said it greater. He said, I have come to a reasoned conclusion that the sufferings of the present season are of no weight in comparison to the glory which is about to be revealed upon us. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is working in you to constantly not only express all that God is in you, but all that God is for you. And the voice of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, is only understood in your heart. Your heart is your basis for understanding. And the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, and then in our heart, we turn it into how we're going to understand what he's saying. And if we can't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit in our heart and distinguish the difference between the voice of our mind, then we will always, always, always be confused. I want to tell you something. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't do it in some formal way, but when I'm praying, when I'm talking to God, I like to acknowledge, Holy Spirit, I know you're with me. Holy Spirit, I know you're expressing yourself in me. Holy Spirit, I trust you to lead me. I trust your wisdom. I trust you to speak in my heart. I trust you to show me the perfect will of God. And, you know, just that acknowledgement does something in me that settles me down and moves me from the place of fear to the place where I'm back at peace and I'm sensing his presence. I'll tell you what, I love the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I rely on the Holy Spirit, and I'm lost without the Holy Spirit. I just want you to know that he's with you, he's for you, he's in you, he's always at work, he's always going to do in you what is exactly consistent and congruent with all of the names and attributes of God. He's never going to violate his identity, he's never going to violate his name or his word, and you can always rely on him. Make it a practice to get in touch with the voice of God inside your heart so that you can walk out the very, very, very best that God has for your life. Listen, I appreciate you so much. Operation 1 Billion is moving just according to plans. Right now we've got over 2,000 places that would like for us to start Bible schools. Pray for us, believe with us, and do whatever you have a passion to do to help us start Bible schools in other countries. Remember, $600 will start a Bible school. We're expanding our television broadcast so that we can get into about 20 other countries, which means we're going to come up with another program that has a totally different format. And this means we'll be producing an additional program that'll go out in America, but going in all of these other countries. It'll be a 30-minute program. And we'll probably start putting that on we'll put it on television in other countries. We'll decide if we're going to put it on television here. But all of this is a part of our Operation 1 Billion. I am fully committed to reaching 1 billion people with this message of grace, peace, faith, righteousness, and unconditional love. And I want you to know that if we didn't do it together, it would absolutely never, ever, ever happen. Thank you so much for joining with me and thousands of others around the world and saying, I am changing the way the world sees God.